Hello.
Hi.
And welcome to Fruitcast, the official fruit logistica podcast brought to you by FruitNet. My name's Carl Collum, and I'm speaking to you live from Berlin at Fruit Logistica, the world's leading fresh produce trade show. Now, our topic for this podcast is safe harbour. How can ports keep the fresh produce trade moving? In essence, we're going to delve into what ports are doing to ensure that fresh fruit and vegetables continue to reach their destination quickly and, of course, cost-effectively. And I'm delighted to say that Anne Saris, Business Manager, Agri-Food and Distribution, I believe that's correct, at the Port of Rotterdam has joined me to discuss that very topic that I just mentioned. So, Anne, welcome to Fruitcast.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Let's just dive straight in.
Yes.
So let's start with what ports like Rotterdam are doing effectively to ensure what I've just mentioned, that fresh produce reaches its final destination quickly and cost effectively.
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned those two points, because if I talk to my clients or to people that are interested in the port and what we are doing for this typical industry, I always say there's a few topics that are very important that we try to achieve. It's being fast, of course, because we're talking about perishable cargo. Cost efficient. We know all it's if you buy some bananas in the supermarket, margins are quite small. Being reliable also has to do, of course, with the perishable. And of course, these days also sustainability and security are very important. And on all those topics, we are working to have the best facilities, have the best infrastructure, but also have the best processes and digital solutions to make sure that those products, whether they are imported or exported via the port, are running as smooth as possible through the port.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit more about a very specific thing that obviously we've touched on, which is the port's plan to build the new agri-food terminal.
Yeah? Yes.
So what kind of progress are you making on that, and how will that centre ultimately kind of transform the fruit and vegetable import trade?
Yeah. So the perishable trade and the shipping has really changed over the last 20 years or so. I mean, 15, 20 years ago, most of the fruit would come in pelletized vessels, conventional vessels, as we call them. So we had a fruit port that had the terminals to handle those type of vessels. So mostly pelletized, and nowadays also a few containers on deck. However, I think at this moment it's about 95% containerized, and those vessels, I'm sure you've seen them in the world, they are enormous. They go up to 24,000 TEU, and I even see news that is getting bigger.
Sure, yeah.
So that also means that the port has to change, and that the perishable cargo, where that used to be a dedicated terminal only for those pallets, and where from the ship would go straight into the cold store, nowadays you're part of a bigger container supply chain. So those reefer containers get in through the major container terminals. So that is one of the shifts that we've seen. But also that there's a big difference between having, let's say, a 24,000 TEU vessel with coal sizes that go up to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 TEUs per coal, or whether it's a smaller service from, let's say, Latin America, but only a few hundred containers, which a large share of them are reefers. So we want to be able to handle all of those different type of vessels. For some of them, the existing container terminals are excellent. They are fully automated. They have scanners on site. They are expanding because in the end, our capacity is going to grow with another 4 to 6 million TEUs in the next 10 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's going to be quite
a big shift, yeah.
Exactly. But we also want to make sure that we have that dedicated terminal as well for maybe it's still the pelletized cargo, if that's still there. I mean, there's still a few new builds there, but a lot of the shipping market will change towards containers. And also handle the mid-sized, smaller and mid-sized container vessels. And have an operation that is really dedicated to that type of business. So where the reefer is central in the process and not only 10 or 15% of the process. So that's why we are building the Rotterdam Food Hub, as you're mentioning. And this is complementary to the current container terminals, but also to all of the cold store facilities that we have in the different regions. Also Coolport, you might have heard of that. And this dedicated area will have cold stores on site, various cold stores, a terminal for, let's say, the smaller and mid-sized container vessels, and all the facilities that those reefers need. So also an empty depot. And the companies that we are looking at are really, enhancing each other, complementing each other. So it's both for perishable cargo, it's also for frozen cargo. The first client there is Innocent. I'm not sure if you know them, but they're a producer of smoothies. And for instance, they used to have their production mostly outsourced in Europe, but their ingredients are coming all through Rotterdam. Their orange juice, which is the main ingredient, comes in through to one of our bulk juice terminals, and all the other flavors, so to say, which they blend into the smoothie, also come in through the container terminals. So they build a factory as the first client on this Rotterdam food hub, where they build a factory to source those ingredients, blend them into the smoothies and juices, and bottle them for the European distribution. And that's, I think, the role that we have also as a port, is not only to make sure that cargo comes in, but redistribute it to the rest of Europe. Because together with the green ports, as we call them, the areas around us where a lot of the importers and traders are based, we really make sure that the retail in Europe is reached within of sometimes 24 hours.
Mm, okay, so lots of change and adapting to change and looking to the future. So let's talk about the future. Do you think the way that fresh produce moves from port to market, do you think that will change much in the coming years? And if so, in how much and in what way?
I think it needs to change. It's not a matter of will it change, it needs to change. If you look at the reefer transport and the fresh logistics, I think 99% is done by truck throughout whole Europe. There's so many truck movements on the road just to get those produce from, whether it's from port to the supermarket or from sourcing area to the port. And I don't think that's the sustainable way for the future. So we're really focusing on inland barges, for instance, to use the waterways, but also to use the railways. Because I think, especially for the longer distances, going to Scandinavia, the Baltics, also Southern Europe, we need to make use of the existing railways, because we have excellent infrastructure there. But it's quite a challenge to get this time-sensitive product on a railway product. And those are sometimes two different worlds. And there's a few really good initiatives, like Fresh Rail, that are really trying to connect those dots and to make sure that there will be a reliable alternative for the road. And I think that is definitely needs to be the big shift that we're going to make in the next few years.
So change is a necessity,
yes,
effectively.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so finally, what kind of other innovations and investments can we expect to see at the Port of Rotterdam? I mean, new technologies is always a big one. And how kind of will that impact things moving forward into the future?
There's so many innovations that honestly I don't know where to start. Of course, if you look at digitalization, we have a port community system where all the data flows from all the operators in the port, the terminals, the shipping lines, the service providers, where that is combined and where data is shared, so that you get more transparency in the supply chain, that people in hinterland can plan their transport better. There's initiatives to also use the capacity during a day and during the weekend hours much more, because terminals are open 24/7. Hinterland, often the cold stores are open Monday to Friday or to Saturday during day hours. Also, that is a change that we need to go through. We need to be more 24/7. And there's different innovative solutions like reefer hubs in the hinterland, so that containers can be taken out of the terminals during the night hours when it's nice and quiet on the roads, and then put in a reefer secured reefer hub, and then they do the last mile whenever the cold stores are open. Security, of course, is a big concern for us as well. Also there, we're looking at, together with customs authority, in ways, how can we secure the port area? How can we actually secure the whole supply chain? How can we work with the exporting countries and the authorities on that side? Because often it's about data sharing and working together to make sure that we make the supply chain more secure, but also keep that efficiency.
Okay. Well, that's some really interesting insights. So thank you very much for that. That's just about all we've got time for. So many thanks to Anne Sarris for joining us. You've been listening to Fruitcast, which is the official Fruit Logistica podcast brought to you by FruitNet. For more great episodes, you can subscribe to Fruitcast in your favourite podcast player. And of course, don't forget to visit fruitlogistica.com for more information about what is the world's leading fresh produce trade show. Goodbye.